We would like to welcome you to the May 11th, 2022 meeting of the Savannah Historic District Board of Review. The purpose of this board is to promote the educational, cultural, economic, and general welfare of the city of Savannah. This board is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any profit or nonprofit organization. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards established in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance are the basis for evaluating the compatibility of changes and new development. The board cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, and impact on property values are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for a decision. If you are joining us virtually, please make sure you mute yourselves. And if you are joining us here in person, please make sure your phone is silenced so that we have a clear record. Sign postings. Members of the board receive packages containing applications in the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects that were not posted this month? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. These items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. And I will read those now for the record. Petition one is of Felder and Associates, 22-001844-COA, 125 Falm Street, amendment to previous COA. The petition of Shaw Architecture, 22-001805-COA, 423 East River Street, rehabilitation and alterations. The petition of Felder Associates Architecture, Gretchen Calleas, I apologize if I said that wrong, 22-001845-COA, 122 West Taylor Street, amendment to 21-002847, alterations to the rear. The petition of Whitfield Signs Company, 22-001254-COA, 31 West Congress Street, illuminated sign. The petition of Patrick Johnston, 22-001993-COA, 23 West Broughton Street, amendment to 22-000660-COA, storefront alterations. You said we have to vote to acknowledge, correct? No.
Consent's like regular, like a regular, yeah.
Is there any member of the public or any board member who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Okay. Hearing none, is there a motion for approval of the consent agenda?
Mr. Stevens, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Do I have a second?
Second, Nan Taylor.
Thank you, Nan. We'll do a voice vote for that. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Next is the adoption of the agenda. It's not. Do you want me to say it? Okay. If your item was on the consent agenda and you wish to leave, you may do so. Okay. Adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda for this month?
Stevens, so move.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Is there a second?
Second, Nan Taylor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Again, we'll do a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Next is the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting for April 13th, 2022. They have been attached to your agenda. Is there a motion to approve the previous month's minutes?
So moved, Nan Taylor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Is there a second?
Melissa Memory, second.
Thank you, Ms. Memory. Again, a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Next is items requested to be removed from the final agenda. We have one this month, the petition of Sotil and Sotil, Christian Sotil, 22-001807-COA, 336 Barnard Street, non-contributing demolition and new construction, part one, height and mass. Next is the continued agenda.
We vote on that.
Oh, we do?
Yep.
Okay. Normally we don't have those. Would someone like to make a motion?
Stevens' motion to approve the items requested from the final agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Is there a second?
Second. Thompson, second.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Now we'll move on to the continued agenda. These applications have been requested to be continued to the following meeting. The petition of LS3P Associates, 22-00171-COA, 3 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard Roof Edition. The petition of Gonzalez Architects, 22-00178-COA, 215 Whitaker Street, demolition of non-contributing building and new construction, part one. The petition of Shed Architecture, 22-000643-COA, 413 East Jones Street, demolition of a non-contributing building and new construction for an accessory building, parts one and two. The petition of Elevate Architecture Studio, 22-00128-COA, 114 West Bay Street, rehabilitation, alterations, and additions. The petition of Eli Laurie, 21-00683-COA, 113 East Gordon Street, new construction, small, parts one and two. The petition of Array Design, 22-00132-COA, 412 to 416 East Gwinnett Street, alterations. The petition of J. Elder Studio, 22-00183-COA, 302 East Oglethorpe Avenue, non-contributing demolition, new construction, part one, height and mass, and variance recommendation. Is there a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
I'll need to recuse myself for 113 East Gordon Street. Melissa Rowan?
She did. Thank you, Melissa. Do I have a motion to continue the items on the continued agenda?
Stevens, so moved.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Is there a second?
Second, Ann Taylor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. There are no requests for extensions this month, so we will go ahead and move on to the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendations. We ask that the petitioner will limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address the items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to those public comments. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairwoman. We will structure board discussion by going around to each board member 2 times for comment. You do not have to provide comments if you do not have any. If you are joining us virtually, please make sure you locate your control panel and use the raise your hand feature. I will be notified and call on you by name. Before you speak, please make sure that you submit your name for the record and then make your comment. Please make your comments or limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Okay, the first item on the regular agenda is the petition of Gerald Chambers, 22-00175-COA, located at 222 East Gwinnett Street, entrance alteration and fences.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. This is Olivia Refuso. I'll be presenting the petition for an entrance door alteration and the replacement slash installation of new fencing at 222 East Gwinnett Street. Per the petitioner, the existing 36-inch wide entry door and side lights are proposed to be replaced with double doors. The new doors will measure 59 inches in width and will be constructed of oak. The existing wood privacy fence is also proposed to be replaced with a new fence that consists of a masonry base and aluminum pickets. An aluminum gate is proposed to be installed as well. The brick portion of the fence will be 36 inches in height and will be constructed of Acme brick and mortar. The aluminum fence will measure 36 inches in height as well and will have alternating picket style tops with gold finials. Regarding the preservation standards, 222 East Gwinnett Street was constructed in 1884. While it has functioned as both a single-family dwelling and multi-residential apartment building, there have been no apparent alterations to the front facade that staff could identify from the public right-of-way. Both single and double door entrances are apparent on the adjacent contributing resources. However, without clear evidence that this building once had a double door entrance, such an alteration would alter the character-defining entry feature of 222 East Gwinnett Street and create a false sense of historical development by adding a conjectural architectural element visible on other buildings. Additionally, staff could not locate any evidence that the existing side lights and/or surround have been replaced. If the side lights and surround are in fact original, the installation of double doors would consequentially lead to the removal and/or alteration of historic materials that characterize the property's entrance. Therefore, staff is requesting that additional information be submitted to staff regarding 222 East Gwinnett Street's original door configuration. Regarding the visual compatibility and design standards, again, the existing wood privacy fence is proposed to be replaced with a new fence that consists of aluminum pickets on a masonry base. Staff determined that this style of fence is common in the Savannah Downtown Historic District and will imply a continuous wall of enclosure along Gwinnett Street. Per the standards, fences and walls facing a public street shall be constructed of the material and color of the primary building. However, the foundation and the front stoop at 222 East Gwinnett Street are constructed of brick, and staff determined that aluminum is compatible with features visible on contributing resources in the vicinity. To summarize, staff recommends that the board approve the replacement of the existing fence and the installation of a new masonry aluminum fence at 222 East Gwinnett Street with the following conditions, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. One, the fence shall not extend beyond the facade of the building, and a minimum of 5 feet must be provided between a fence and a building where they are parallel. And to continue, the alteration of the front entrance to the June 8th HDBR meeting so that the petitioner can address the following: submit additional information regarding 222 East Gwinnett Street's original door configuration. Thank you, and I now open for any questions from the board.
Thank you, Olivia. Does anybody have any questions for staff? Okay, being none, would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Gerald Chambers. Good afternoon. I'm okay with the fence part of it. The issue with the front door is, one, that door warps really, really bad. So that's the other problem that I have with that door. It normally never closes. And especially with the weather being as it is now, it actually does create a hazard for me or even our family or guests or anything of that nature. The door that I actually showed in the picture is actually on the exact same street. That door was actually done. That door is actually right across the street. That house was actually built in 1884, the exact same as the house that I'm actually into. And actually, the historic preservation, or at least the information that was provided to us as far as the history of the door, stated that the doors were actually removed in 1921 from the original owner because he didn't like the slamming of the door. And so that was actually why those doors, the double doors, were actually removed. If you would, and I should have taken a picture of it, if you would actually go inside of the next door, inside of that door, there is a double door. That's exactly the exact same way as that door should have been at that point. So any questions for me, or?
I have a question. Where is that information regarding the 1921 removal of the double doors?
Yeah, that information was actually provided from someone who did the historic, I guess the history of the house. That information I can actually provide to you. He is actually, he lives two doors down, and he did all of the background and all the information on the house, as far as the owners and things of that nature. I think Virginia Drain was the original owners, but the second owners actually changed the door.
Interesting. That information is really pertinent.
That'll be fun. Yeah, it's no problem.
Can you provide some photographs of the interior double doors?
Correct. Yes, that shouldn't be a problem. I can easily take a picture of those and send them in. Yes.
Does anybody else have any question for the petitioner? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Okay. Then we will enter into board discussion, and no further comment will be accepted. Each board member is afforded two opportunities to provide comment. So at this point, we will start with Mr. Higgins.
No comments.
Okay, Mr. Stevens.
No comment.
Ms. Rowan.
No comment.
Ms. Quinn.
No comments.
Ms. Taylor.
No comment.
Mr. Thompson.
Just want to point out, I took a look at the Google Maps, and the house across the street, as the applicant indicated, does have a double door, all wood, but without any lights, but it's directly across the street. I see somebody else has done what I did. Yeah.
That house is actually a new construction. Are you talking about the historic one?
You don't know the age of the construction, is that what you said?
No, I said the one that you're referencing across the street is actually a new construction.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. I apologize. Ms. Memory.
I agree with staff's recommendations.
Okay. Well, considering nobody had comments the first time around, we will now entertain a motion.
All right, this is Mr. Stevens. I move that the Savannah Historic District Board of Review approve the replacement of the existing fence and the installation of new masonry aluminum fence at 222 East Gwinnett Street with the following conditions, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Otherwise, the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. And that condition is, number one, the fence shall not exceed beyond the facade of a building, and a minimum of 5 feet must be provided between the fence and a building where they are parallel. And then to continue the alteration of the front entrance to the June 8th HDBR meeting so that the petitioner can address the following: submit additional information regarding the 222 East Gwinnett Street's original door configuration. And I just want to make sure in that motion is basically, please provide the information that was presented verbally in the petitioner's testimony today.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second, Nan Taylor.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Okay. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Gwen?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Okay. With that, the motion has been approved with conditions, and then the second portion regarding the door has been continued, so you can provide that information. Okay. Moving on, the next petition is of Listel LLC. 22-001810-COA, 720 Habersham Street, rehabilitation, alterations, and additions.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the board. This is Olivia Refuso again. I'll be presenting the petition for the rehabilitation of, with alterations to, the principal building located at 720 Habersham Street. The original Leopold's ice cream location is proposed to be renovated and restored to a functioning ice cream parlor. Per the petitioner, quote, all existing exterior envelope to remain and be repaired as required unless otherwise noted below. New landing and guardrails at terrace will be visible from Gwinnett Street. New door onto new landing on second floor will be visible from right of way via an oblique angle from Gwinnett Street looking up and northwesterly. New egress stairs will be barely or not visible from Habersham Street and Hall Lane, as will be blocked by the new accessory structure and fences around the perimeter of the property, and a new exterior door to the courtyard will not be visible from the right of way, end quote. The majority of the proposed alterations are to occur to the existing hyphen that connects the principal building with its historic carriage house. Although the principal building, connector, and carriage house were all constructed during the period of significance for the Savannah Downtown Historic District, the petition will be reviewed using the standards for new construction, alterations to non-contributing resources, and additions. This is due to the owner's appeal of the previous historic determination, resulting in the official delisting of 720 Habersham Street in 2011. Regarding the visual compatibility criteria, a PC steel guardrail is proposed atop the connector between the second stories of the principal building and the historic carriage house. This railing will imply a visual wall of enclosure along Gwinnett Street. However, the materiality and design is not compatible with the contributing buildings to which it will be visually related. So staff recommends removing the proposed upper landing of the terrace to limit the visibility of the feature from the public right of way. Regarding the design standards, the original glass and wood double doors are proposed to be reinstalled. One new door opening is proposed on the north-facing facade of the historic carriage house. All new doors will be Pella Architect Series traditional outswing French doors. Per the standards, the door frames shall be inset no less than 3 inches from the exterior surface of the building. To accommodate the proposed outdoor terrace feature, one second story window is proposed to be relocated and one is proposed to be infilled. It is staff's understanding that no new windows are proposed to be installed. Staff is asking that the window infill shall match the existing exterior wall material in kind. The one relocated window shall have framing members covered with appropriate trim that matches the original existing windows. Regarding the proposed terrace, an upper deck is proposed on the south end of the terrace. The remainder of the terrace will be located at a lower landing and will be accessible via a small set of stairs. The rooftop leisure space again will be visible from Gwinnett Street due to a steel guardrail. The new egress stairs and railing on the north-facing facade will be visible from Habersham Street and Hall Lane. The deck or terrace shall be screened from all areas visible from the street, and the steel guardrails and staircase shall be painted to blend with the colors of the main building. Per the standards for roofs, roof decks are not permitted on street facades. Therefore, staff recommends removing the proposed upper landing again of the terrace to limit the visibility of the feature from the public right of way. To summarize, staff is recommending that the board approve the rehabilitation of, with alterations to, the building located at 720 Habersham Street, with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval, because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. One, remove the proposed upper landing of the terrace to limit the visibility of the feature from the public rights of way. 2, door frame shall be inset not less than 3 inches from the exterior surface of the building. 3, the window infill shall match the existing exterior wall material in kind. The 1 relocated window shall have framing members covered with appropriate trim that matches the original existing windows. 4, the steel guardrails and staircase shall be painted to blend with the colors of the main building. And 5, provide material specifications regarding the new chimney that is noted on page A103. Thank you, and I now open for any questions.
Thank you, Olivia. Does anybody have any questions for staff?
I have one quick one. On the terrace and the removal of the landing, sorry, Michael Higgins, on the removal of the landing, how will that door that's to the west side be handled then?
I think that's a better question for the petitioner to answer. He did have some concerns regarding that, and he did email staff today. So I'd like to give him the opportunity to touch on that.
Does anybody else have any other questions for staff? Okay. Is the petitioner online, Julie?
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Could I share my screen?
He wants to know if he can share a screen.
Can you see my screen now?
1 second, we are figuring it out.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, we're seeing your screen.
Yeah, we can see it now. Please make sure that you speak up so that we can hear you in the boardroom, okay?
Okay, which part of the screen, that is it showing the overall screen or just part of it? This. Are you seeing the full screen now? The full one, full screen.
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, members of the board, staff. I'm Talanoelis Tele. I'm the architect of record for this project. We'd like to thank the staff for their thorough recommendation. We will ensure that we meet the supplementary conditions. Our only request to the board and staff is that we keep the landing that the recommendation is asking to remove. This is the second floor plan. The landing is indicated in yellow. This landing is an integral part of the layout of the second floor. The landing itself is set back from the edge of the existing cornice, as indicated over here, by over 3 feet, close to 4 feet. So it won't be visible from the right of way. The only visible part of the landing will be the guardrail. We would like to work with staff to make the guardrail as low profile and low visibility as possible. The guardrail is indicated over here. So it should look similar to this railing of the neighboring property to the east. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Listow. Does anybody on the board have questions for the applicant? If so, state your name before you speak.
Hi, Michael Higgins. If the landing, well, first of all, have you explored other ways of handling the doorway without that landing?
This landing is very integral to us. Number one is we need it for the egress requirements. As some of you might know, there's a remoteness of exits, so we have to provide the door over here in order to meet the remoteness, the egress remoteness requirement of the building code. Additionally, you know, if we put the landing somewhere else, basically it will render the roof deck unusable. The roof deck is concealed from the public right away because it's plus the other thing I want to mention also, the roof deck is existing. It's been there for a while. It's just, it's been underutilized for years because there used to be a roof that was encroaching into this roof deck. So, but what we're trying to do now is make it more usable and then cater it to the courtyard.
Does anybody else have any questions for the petitioner? Okay, thank you, Mr. Listell. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? If so, either please come forward or use the raise your hand feature. Okay. Being none, we will go ahead and go into board discussion. Ms. Memory, let's start with you.
No comments right now.
Mr. Thompson?
No comment. Thank you.
Ms. Taylor?
No comment.
Ms. Gwen?
No comment.
Okay. Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Stevens?
Madam Chair, if I may, can I backtrack a second and ask staff a question?
Yes.
Olivia, is the concern with the landing more of a visual compatibility factor, or was that something in the ordinance? I missed that.
It was both. It was the visual compatibility as well as that standard that rooftop decks have to be screened from the public right of way. So it was a concern of both the design standards and visual compatibility criteria.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have any other comments, Mr. Stevens?
No further comment at this time.
Okay. Mr. Higgins?
Michael Higgins. I do have some concerns with this roof deck landing as to why it has not been explored other ways that would bring it into compatibility with the ordinance. Because if it was moved back, it would not have a deck adjacent to the street. So yes, I do have some concerns, and I agree with staff in having it removed.
Okay. We'll go around a second time this time. Ms. Memory?
I agree with staff's recommendations.
Mr. Thompson?
I'd just like to know what staff's reaction to the petitioner's comments were.
I think we would need to see a visual of, you know, the alternative that he's describing for the guardrail, but I think we still have that same concern about the overall compatibility and whether it will be visible from Gwinnett Street.
Okay. Do you have any other comments, Mr. Thompson?
No, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Taylor?
I have concerns about it violating the standard, so I agree with staff's comments.
Ms. Gwen?
No comments.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Stevens?
I think primarily I concur with Mr. Higgins. I'm not necessarily, 100% opposed of exploring an option like this, but bringing it to meet the ordinance or bringing it more in more alignment with the ordinance would be my what I would think would be an appropriate thing to do.
Okay, Mr. Higgins?
I agree with what you just said.
Okay. At this time, we will now entertain a motion. Thank you, Olivia.
Nan Taylor, and I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic District Board of Review approve the petition number 22-001810-COA720 Haversham Street, provided the conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Do we have a second?
Michael Higgins, second.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Ms. Memory, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Ms. Gwen?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
And Mr. Higgins?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been approved with the conditions that are outlined in the staff recommendation. The next item on the agenda is the petition of Barnard Architects, Bob Portman, 22-001785-COA, 115 East Bay Street, after the fact roof structure. Okay, we're going to take a pause. Did you happen to leave them in your office? Okay. Well, then I guess we're going to take a break for a moment.
Carried all my documents into my office for some reason. All right. This is Leah for the first time today. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction, part one height mass, for a new 2.5-story main building with an attached carriage house for the property located at 222 West Gwinnett Street. This is the streetscape.
Oh,
this.
Wait a second. I need to rewind then because I introduced the wrong project.
Okay.
I apologize.
Am I reading the wrong one?
No, I didn't introduce the correct project.
Okay.
So we're going to do the petition of Brown Design Studio, Eric Brown, 22-001277-COA, 222 West Gwinnett Street, new construction, part one height and mass. Now you can go.
All right. So this is the vacant lot adjacent to this building here, which you can see in the context elevation. This is the historic building. This is the proposed building, and this is the building across Jefferson Street to the west, which is new construction. And in this site plan, so here's the building we're talking about. All of these buildings are new construction as well. So all of this is non-historic. These are historic over here. Everything over here is new construction. For reference. So here's the context elevation of the front of the building along Gwinnett, and then the side of the building and the carriage house along Jefferson in context with the non-historic buildings over there. So, I'm not going to go through a lot of the history because for all intents and purposes, this side of the parcel has always been virtually vacant. This street doesn't even exist anymore right here. It was the side yard for 220, which is still there now. There's a version of this building left there, but as you can see, it was always pretty much vacant. So you all did not hear this petition at the last meeting, if you recall, due to a lack of posting signs. So there's been no new information submitted between the last meeting and this meeting, just for reference. Did want to point out something a little bit unusual about this site. that you don't find too often in the district. You can see how far back this historic building is set from the street, which is unusual, but staff did determine when we first started talking about this project with the applicant that it would be appropriate for this building to set back as well. So that's what this design is based on, that that setback. Did want to point that out. With regard to visual compatibility, with the exception of some windows on the east that aren't visible, and this window up here in the gable, with the exception of those, all the windows are proposed to be taller than they are wide, which is appropriate. Staff does not find this window configuration compatible, and we recommend revising it to be maybe a symmetrical paired window. This gable is not quite as large as this one, but something more appropriate. Additionally, the one other comment that we had is, you can see in the floor plan that the front porch is recessed pretty much fully into the building, which is unusual. So staff is recommending that read more as a projecting element than a flat element on the facade of the building. Show you the front facade. So this is all flush to the facade. So we're recommending something more of like a projecting portico, which would be more compatible. With regard to the design standards, there's not much to comment on here. The gable end rakes weren't dimensioned. So you can see the eaves are, but there's a standard requiring that gable end rakes be at least 8 inches deep. So we just need that on the section with part two. Curb cut shall not exceed 20 feet. The curb cut is not shown on the site plan here or here. So we'll need that information with part two. And this drawing indicates that there's a fence in the side yard and potentially along the rear, but there's no other information, but they can submit all of the fence information with part two as well. So staff is recommending approval of part one with the following conditions to be submitted for review by the HDBR with part two, because the work is visually compatible, otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, revise the triple window within the gable to be symmetrically paired windows. Two, revise the front portico to project further from the building so as to read as a projecting element. Three, the gable end rakes must overhang at least 8 inches on both the main building and the carriage house. Four, provide information regarding the curb cut. And five, provide the fencing information. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for Leah? I have a question that I just noticed. Was there any issue with visual compatibility regarding the dormers, the fact that they're not the same design?
Same design as?
As far as like roof pitch and?
So that, I mean, that's not that unusual, especially on these sort of like eclectic period. I mean, I know it's new, but sort of this eclectic period of architecture.
Okay.
But, you know, that of course is up to you all. You can see these aren't exact. I mean, this drawing shows them as identical, but I'm not so sure they actually are identical on this building. So.
Okay.
Plus, you'll never see them, as you know, in that
context.
This straight on like that. So.
Does anybody else have any other questions for staff? Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi everyone, Liv Garcia representing Brown Design Studios. We fully agree with all of the staff's recommendation, and we will make the necessary adjustments for the second part of the submission. And we'll also like to answer any questions you may have or the public may have.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Oh, I'm sorry, I missed a step. Does anybody on the board have a question for the applicant?
On the dormer that is, let's see, I believe that's on the east elevation, yeah. Would you all be opposed to exploring a different roof type there?
You mean like doing a, and this is Liv Garcia once again, you mean changing the roof instead of a hip roof, making it like a shed roof, or?
Doesn't appear to be a roof, is, or is that, the way it's drawn, it doesn't look like it's a hip.
It's like a shed.
So right now it is being shown as a shed roof, but we wouldn't be completely opposed to changing that roof type.
There it is.
Thank you.
Okay, does anybody else have any other questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you, ma'am. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? No? Okie dokie. At this time, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Higgins?
No comment.
Mr. Stevens?
No comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Ms. Gwynn?
No comment.
Ms. Taylor?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson?
No comment.
And Ms. Memory?
I agree with staff's recommendations and appreciate the applicant's willingness to meet those conditions.
Okay. Since there was not any comments really the first time around, we will go into entertaining a motion. Do you mind putting the recommendations back up? Thank you, ma'am.
Hey, this is Nan Taylor. I approve the petition number 22-001277 COA 222 West Gwinnett Street, new construction, part one, height and mass. With the conditions as outlined in the staff's recommendations.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Do we have a second?
Michael Higgins, second.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been approved with conditions. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the petition of Barnard Architects, Bob Portman, 22-001785-COA, 115 East Bay Street, after the fact roof structure.
Thank you. This is Leah again. The applicant is requesting approval for an after the fact retractable roof structure along the lane for the property located at 115 East Bay Street. This is the current view from the lane. The applicant describes the structure as this canopy was installed approximately at the end of March 2022. It was custom designed, fabricated, and installed. It covers the existing metal roof over the bar, which is here, extending over the seated area here. Page seven, now let's see. All right, so it connects at its highest point to an existing steel frame mechanical screen and its lowest point over this masonry and stucco wall that you can see in the photograph. supported by, these frames support four fixed canopy panels and four retractable panels. And does somebody have that polygal sample? Thank you. I used to have copies of this too. So I'll just start over with this. We talked about this in the previous. So as we discussed, half of the roof is retractable. This is the basically a plan view of that structure, and this is it in the closed position, and this is it in the open position, and this roof is made out of that smoky colored polygal that I just passed around. The existing stucco rear wall and mechanical screening were approved by the board between in a couple versions of a couple projects between 2012 and 2013. So everything that you see in this photograph was approved and installed under that project. So this is the only portion that was added. So it's the only portion under review. The roof is, as you can see, a shed shape. It's connected to the existing mechanical screening up here. And as I mentioned, sits above this stucco wall, which has some planters at the top. See, I think I have another photo of that. Yep. So you can see there's sort of, it's, I don't know if it's an actual planter or if there's plants sitting on top of it. But I guess there's planters sitting on top of the wall. So staff is recommending actually revising the east end of this edge. One, there's a standard that requires the edges of roofs to be parallel instead of sloping in the plane with the roof, which you can see in section that this slopes. This is slopes in the plane with the roof instead of being perpendicular to the ground. And also we talked about this a bit, but the property line is here, so it should pull back and be guttered into those planters or onto the owner's property. Staff is recommending approval with the following condition, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, and that's to revise the east end of the roof to feature a gutter and a soffit, which is perpendicular to the stucco wall. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Leah. Does anybody have any questions for staff?
I have one quick one. You just mentioned that.
Mr. Higgins, make sure you say your name.
Michael Higgins. I have a question about the, where would the water be sent from the gutter?
That's our question that needs to be resolved somehow. So I think that's a good question for the applicant. Because I mean, looking at it right now, it would just shed right down onto the adjacent parking lot.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions for staff? Okay. With that, would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Thanks, Lou. Bob Portman, Barn Architects. I'm here on behalf of Trey Wilder from Trailer Park Restaurants and John Lammons with the contractor, and we agree with staff's recommendations. And we'll ask Trey and John to discuss how we'll modify the end of the roof to capture the gutter. That's the only concern. But I'm also here to answer any questions that you have.
Okay. Thank you. Does the board have any questions for the applicant?
Michael Higgins.
Thompson, I do have a quick question. Is this the actual dimension of the material?
The dimension, that's the actual thickness of the material.
It is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It is a beer garden, right?
It is a beer garden.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Higgins.
Michael Higgins, can you explain how you would, first of all, modify the end of the roof along the stucco wall, and where would the water be diverted to?
Yeah, you can come forward. Just make sure you state your name.
Thank you all. Trey Wilder with the Trailer Park Restaurant Group. So the way that the panels go move back and forth, what we've been discussing, you can actually stop the panel short so the water can actually flow down onto, which we would create a gutter in between each, there's four of them, in between each one with a hole that would go straight down to the planter boxes and flow into the planter boxes. That was one option. And the second option would be to have a long gutter. Same thing, we get stop the panel short and have a long gutter that goes underneath, because we already have an LVL that is pretty much a trough, and we would have a gutter system underneath that that would then flow out and create a gutter down to the alley, which we have multiple gutters to the alley already from the top of the roof, from the AC condensers and from the rain.
Awesome.
But also I think, and I'll work with Trey, but at this point right here, I think the staff's concern is we would have this frame go straight down and then create a gutter from the edge of the stucco wall inward, so the water comes into the gutter. It also will create the straight line that staff is looking for. Okay. And then the gutter itself will slope from the kitchen side or the dining side towards the lane, and then, you know, then out into the lane.
Great. Does anybody have any other questions for the applicants? Thank you. Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? Okay. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. Ryan Arve, Historic Savannah Foundation. On behalf of our ARC, we just wanted to express our concern over this application. We really looked at it from several different ways. Obviously, we are as frustrated as you all are by these after-the-fact applications. We know that mistakes, genuine mistakes, happen. And in this particular case, we believe it is a mistake perpetuated by an owner-operator who does know how the system works and really should have gotten a COA. And we tried to look at this from several different ways of how can you improve this. And ultimately, we came to the determination that had this design been presented and not already built, there was just no way we feel that this is visually compatible, no matter how you look at it. And to try and dress it up is really futile. You know, it's too industrial. It's placement coming off the back of a balcony attaching to an existing wall. It just, you know, we understand the applicant's desire to provide that protected patio, but I think there's other ways, softer ways. You know, they currently are using canopies, which we know are not rainproof, but there's softer ways that are more visually compatible. And we just feel that, again, to, you know, this board should be afforded the full opportunity to fully vet designs and not be pigeonholed and painted into a corner, and because you're all kind and trying to now accommodate a design that really doesn't work. So we are not in favor of the approval and really think that it should be removed. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Arve. Next, I'll call in Mr. Dean Aldridge.
Yes, my name's Dean Aldridge. I represent 117 East Bay Street, Oglethorpe Lodge. And our biggest concern is was permitted or put up without any permits, without going before this board. We agree 100% with Mr. Arve. Now that it's up, our other largest concern is it is built right on the property line, and putting any kind of gutter system would encroach in onto 117 East Bay Street. It would be our wishes to have the structure altered where you would shorten it, where you could put a full gutter system up, or have it removed completely. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Aldridge. Do you want to respond to any public comments?
In this image, Bob Portman, Barn Architects, in this image, we're showing the view from Abercorn Street, and it shows the panels open, and it's a light, airy roof canopy. It's trans, it, the panels are clear or have no opaqueness to them. This is a lane. It's across from a parking garage. There are worse things to look at in our lanes than this. It benefits the city. It benefits the tourists. It benefits our tax base and our money. We're going to fix the water problem. The water problem isn't reviewed by this board. But we will repair it. I respect Ryan's comments and Mr. Aldridge's, but we respectfully request the board's approval of this. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we'll enter into board discussion. Let's start with you, Ms. Memory.
No comments.
Okay. Mr. Thompson?
No comment, although I do agree with, could have been better done from scratch, but it's actually looks better than the previous picture with the flapping canopy. So sort of what is the least impact?
Okay, Ms. Taylor?
No comment.
Ms. Gwynn?
Well, yeah, I just want to clarify that what we are being asked to approve isn't the overall structure that has been approved previously. We're approving that one design element on the edge, correct?
Correct. It's this metal and polygel portion you're seeing here. All the rest of that was approved and constructed in 2013.
Thank you.
Do you have any other comments?
No further comment.
Okay. Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Stevens?
I struggle with this one a little bit. Like, I am completely an advocate for being able to utilize your space and allow for maximum experience, because I think as a business owner, you should be afforded that right. However, I really do struggle with this structure and the aesthetic of it. I understand that it is a lane. However, there has been some initiative in Savannah to clean up their lanes so it's not treated like an afterthought and or utility slash garbage, I guess, just a storage place. So it doesn't present so utilitarian. That being said, I do appreciate the fact that they are willing to address the concern of staff by, truncating the edge of the structure to be able to accommodate a gutter. However, I still really struggle with the pitch of this making it so visible. I don't think I have an issue so much with the material of it, but how much of it is visible and with that pitch is my biggest concern.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Higgins?
Michael Higgins. I have a lot of concerns with this. First of all, the after the fact really troubles me, because when I look at the context and the visual compatibility, it seems it could be more compatible. This is also used as an entrance to Trailer Park. As you note, there's a sign with an arrow that says to Trailer Park. Right on that. It's up a little bit, but and these gates are open and there are people in there. So yes, you're going to have people walking through. It's not just a lane. The material I really don't have a problem with, but it's the relationship with the existing structure that's there and the visual compatibility I do have challenges with. And I do not feel that had it been brought to this board prior to it being installed, that it would be as it is today.
Thank you, sir. We'll go around one more time. Ms. Memory?
No comment.
Mr. Thompson?
No more comment.
Ms. Taylor?
Comment.
Ms. Gwynn?
No comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Mr. Stevens?
Nothing further.
Mr. Higgins?
Just one short comment, which is listening to what Mr. Arve had to say, I do fully agree with the Historic Savannah Foundation's opinion.
Okay, at this time, we will entertain a motion. Does anybody want to make a motion? I know it's a tricky one.
I really didn't want Tom Thompson. Didn't want to make this my first ever motion on the board. But with regard, I may need some coaching, but regarding the petition of Barnard Architects, Robert Portman, 115 East Bay Street, file number 22-001785-COA. I'm going to recommend that the board continue this item so that the plans for the remedying the staff recommendations for the gutter and soffit and perhaps maybe some other features that could make it more compatible for this location.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Just for the record, I just want to make sure that we
we're understanding.
Mr. Thompson's petition, just want to make sure that you, it's got to be date specific.
See, what the next meeting is June 8th. Thank you.
Thank you for that catch, Mr. Stevens. Do we have a second on that motion?
Stevens, second.
Okay, thank you, sir. So we have a motion on the floor to continue the petition to the June 8th, 2022 meeting in order to give the petitioner time to take considerations and redesign things as needed. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Okay. With that, the petition has been continued to the June 8th meeting. Okay, we will move on to the last item on the agenda, the regular agenda. The petition of Pantheon ADC, James Galushi, 22-001849-COA, 24 East Broughton Street, alterations and rooftop addition. I hope I didn't say your last name wrong. It was close, okay.
All right, thank you. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval for alterations and a rooftop addition for the property located at 24 East Broughton Street. So these are renderings from a variety of public rights of way. This is a section through the existing building slash demo and then through the proposed. The roof structure will be removed here and the second floor height reduced to here to add a third story or what we're calling a rooftop addition. The rooftop addition is not visible from the front elevation. And this, you can see this is from Drayton and Congress Lane. As you know, there's a vacant lot right here. Some exterior alterations on the rear include a new access opening in this location. You can see what it's proposed to look like here. And this is on lane again, replacement of three lane doors. So these three doors, the openings won't change. The doors are proposed to be replaced. And they're going to reverse the swing of two of them for egress and to reopen previously enclosed windows on the second floor. So you can see those here, and then do away with the non-historic door opening that takes up a portion of one. With regard to the Secretary of Interior standards, staff is recommending that this new masonry opening here, which is shown here, be reduced to a head height to be more compatible with adjacent door height openings, and a width to be compatible with adjacent door width openings in order to minimize the loss of historic materials. The rooftop addition is differentiated from the old and yet is compatible. The rooftop portion is this portion you're seeing here, obviously, as you can see the outline of the historic roof. The roof structure materials themselves, so the physical roof structure that's down in there that's proposed to be removed, technically doesn't characterize the property and is not visible from a public right of way. The removal of the roof structure is likely not reversible. However, the roof structure again is not visible from public right of way and technically not within the HDBR's purview because you can't see it. So the removal of that structure does not change the form of the building as viewed from the right of way. Historic roof structure materials are noted on the drawings as proposed to be deconstructed, cataloged, reused in the project, or salvaged for use in other construction projects and diverted from the landfill. Visual compatibility criteria. So the height map permits four stories in this location. Obviously, you know this is a historic building, so adding multiple stories on top of a historic building, regardless of the height map, is not appropriate. But staff recommends, as an individual component of the building, that the higher level of the rooftop addition. So you can see there's sort of this lower level and then this higher level. As an individual component of the building, that the higher level of the rooftop addition be reduced to the greatest extent possible to be less impactful on the roof lines of the adjacent buildings. So I show that in section, but this is the rear elevation. So this is the portion that, that staff is referencing. You can see this taller portion here that's over the restaurant, that over the restaurant portion that obviously is attractive to them to have a much higher ceiling in the restaurant, but it's not necessary and is definitely impacting the historic roof lines around it. So we're recommending that this upper portion be reduced. So staff is recommending that the rooftop addition stucco, it's proposed to be stucco, and that the material be changed to a more visually compatible material. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in the design standards, because there is specific standards for commercial buildings regarding materials. Additionally, staff is recommending that the cast stone around the new entrance on the lane be removed. It's not visually compatible for a lane entrance to be accentuated as a main entrance. Again, lanes is something actually that's coming up a lot lately is historically from day one of Oglethorpe, lanes are intended to be utilitarian. And there's a lot of push to turn lanes into main entrances of buildings or things like that. And just for future reference, the ordinance doesn't permit signage on lanes. So to make a lane a main entrance is not appropriate from ordinance or a historical standpoint. So we're just recommending removing that cast stone surround. With regard to design standards and exterior walls on additions, which is what I just mentioned, Residential exterior walls are permitted to be brick, wood, or true stucco. Commercial states brick, concrete formed or assembled as stone, precast concrete panels with a finish to simulate stucco, polished stone, glazed brick, or tile. It doesn't prohibit the use of stucco on commercial buildings. However, the section does show that the stucco is over steel frame, which per the ordinance, true stucco is defined as exterior plaster applied as a 2 or 3 part coating directly onto masonry. So this type of stucco wouldn't be permitted regardless. So staff is recommending that the wall composition be changed to true stucco or an alternate material that meets the ordinance or which is not strictly prohibited and is visually compatible, such as maybe a metal panel or something like that. With alterations to contributing resources for entrances and doors. So again, these doors definitely do not appear original or that have gained significance. I'm sorry, these doors here. I could show you a photo. The only one that looks like it might be. No, and it doesn't. You can see it's smaller than the opening there, but the other ones are really just some, some sort of newer quality hollow metal doors. And they're proposing to replace all of them with hollow metal doors. So original fenestration openings are proposed to be reinstated here. And the ordinance says that if the original window material and or configuration is unknown, the new window material and configuration shall be based on historic context. So the original fenestration openings, they can see them, the openings from the inside, and they're proposed to be double hung windows with transoms above. An actual window spec wasn't provided, but the section through the window indicates that they're double paned. So obviously we ask they provide a specification and ensure that they're wood and single paned. They're already shown as double hung. And from a visual compatibility standpoint, we're recommending that this be one transom. It wouldn't have, wouldn't have appeared as two the way it's shown. So additions to contributing buildings. The one that we want to really focus on here is that additions to roofs shall not be visible from the front elevation. So we did work with the petitioner a couple times to go back to those renderings to ensure that it would not be visible. This rooftop addition wouldn't be visible from the front facade to meet that standard. So staff is recommending approval with conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, the new masonry opening on the rear facade must be reduced to a head height to be compatible with adjacent door height openings and a width to be compatible with adjacent door width openings in order to minimize the loss of historic materials. Additionally, the cast stone around the entrance must be removed. Two, the higher level of the rooftop addition must be reduced to the greatest extent possible to be less impactful on the roof lines of the adjacent buildings. Three, the rooftop addition material must be revised to meet the definition of true stucco or changed to another visually compatible material. Four, transoms above the rear windows must be revised to be singular. Five, provide a specification for the windows and transoms. They must be wood and single pane. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Does anybody have any questions for staff? I have two. The windows that are adjacent on the adjacent structure, the multi-paned, are those ones, are they metal or are they wood?
I believe that they're original metal windows from 1927.
Okay.
Let me find that one. But, as you can see, these two halves of these buildings were
very different.
Very yeah. different.
The second question that I have is, were heights provided as far as the different levels within the rooftop addition?
So in the section, that's the petitioner's presentation. Sorry, he'll want to show you that.
Because I feel like I overlooked that.
themselves. Roughly,
okay,
this is the dimension that I was looking at. So 9.6
versus 13. Okay. Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any other questions for staff? Okay. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
James Colucci with Pantheon ADC. thank you, Ms. Chairperson, and to the board, and thank you, staff, for the review. It does feel good to be back in this room. So I would like to address the comments by staff in reverse order. In regards to the window specification, that was an oversight on our original submission. We are proposing Marvin Ultimate Wood single pane ADL windows. We understand that there was no historic documentation that we could find anyway of what those openings were when the building was built. In terms of Munton pattern and things like that. So we're happy to work with staff to put together the best Munton pattern that seems appropriate for the building. So it will be single pane glazed wood windows. And we do agree with the staff's recommendation to create a singular transom above those double hung windows. In regards to the rooftop veneer, the original proposal was for a stucco system over metal framing. Basically, because we don't know at this point what exactly that structural system is going to be, we are proposing that the new construction will have its own independent structural system within the building. The second floor is to remain the existing wood frame. Like Leah had mentioned, we do plan on, our intent is to repurpose a lot of those wood trusses in the upstairs renovation, or the upstairs addition, I should say. Because of that, you know, we would like to keep the true three-coat stucco system on the substrate of, dense glass, or which is proprietary, but matte sheathing, or on wood sheathing, basically just to keep the weight down on that rooftop addition to minimize the structural impact through the building. It is not our intent to use the existing building for any of the structural support for our addition, except where bracing would be required for the existing parapet. If the board does not agree with that necessarily, we would be happy to work with staff on an alternate material that's more in keeping with the ordinance. I was alluding to it a little bit earlier, but the high roof, the existing trusses, can I go back to your section? Okay. So these existing trusses, as you can see, are rather deep. The ones all the way towards Broughton Street are approximately 8 feet in depth. And it looks like if you can kind of just follow that, they go down to about 4 feet in depth. Which is why we're proposing the volume that we are proposing. If we were even to use the lower or the shorter of these trusses, that's 4 feet, which would create a ceiling plane in that restaurant that approximately between 9 and 12 feet, depending on what we're doing, if we reuse or repurpose these trusses. So that is the intent of why the volume is what it is. So we would advocate to keep the volume and approve it as we have designed it. For the opening on the rear, after taking a further look after staff's recommendation, we did feel that we could reduce the size of that opening and save some existing historic material. You can see here the dashed line was the previously proposed, And then the new demoed opening you can see right here, which is 6 feet by 10 feet. Our intent was to have the openings above it be the same width as the opening below. So this pre-existing masonry opening that we're going to reestablish is centered on the opening below it and is approximately, if not exactly, the same width as what we're proposing below. Once the existing stucco is removed and you can really identify what size that opening is, it is our intent to match up with those proportions, whatever is above it. This revision that we've provided reduces the height by a little over 2 feet. We have removed the cast stone in this revision. In lieu of cast stone, we could put back a true masonry, basically banding. So essentially a stucco finish on a masonry back by reusing the brick that we've got to reform that opening. If you see, so basically this is, took a stroll through the lanes, and I know the dimensions on this may be a little bit difficult to see. These are some of the other, best as I could tell, historic openings in some of the lanes around town. I won't read all of them to you, but they do vary in width and height, anywhere from 6'9" to 4'4" in width to 10 feet to 12 feet high. So we do feel that this opening is not uncommonly seen within the lanes around Savannah. So we would propose this new size, approximately 6x10, to be approved by the board for the opening on the rear of this building. That's all. I will be happy to take any questions any of you may have.
Thank you, sir. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there a member of the public that would like to comment? No? Okay, with that, we will go into board discussion. Mr. Higgins, would you like to start?
No comment.
Mr. Stevens?
No comment.
Ms. Rowan?
No comment.
Ms. Gwynn?
No comment.
Ms. Taylor?
I agree with staff's comments. I guess I'm curious about the rooftop addition material and what other options you all could work out on that. I guess that would be a concern. I can also understand the situation with the height on the rooftop addition being a little bit of an issue. Otherwise, I don't have any other comments.
Okay, Mr. Thompson.
Tom Thompson. So there were a number of proposals made by the applicant. Can we hear what the staff's opinion of that is, or rather?
So number conditions 1, 4, and 5, his explanations and changes are definitely, from staff's perspective, acceptable to meet those conditions. Does that answer your question? So staff still obviously doesn't agree that 2 and 3 are met. So
do you have any other comments, Mr. Thompson? Miss Memory.
No comment.
Okay, we'll go around again for a second time. Mr. Higgins.
No comment.
Mr. Stevens.
Trying to get to the recommendations again, just to make sure I'm clear.
Sorry.
So staff is good with 1.
4 and 5.
5.
Mm-hmm. With the changes as shown today, and he provided drawings too.
No comment.
Okay, Ms. Rowan.
No comment.
Okay, Ms. Gwynn.
No comment.
Ms. Taylor.
So this might be a question for the applicant. I just wanted to clarify. I thought he said something about depending on what they end up using as their base support system for the rooftop addition, that was going to partly, that was what was going to help dictate what you were going to do for
the veneer.
Veneer, right.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I was being conservative with, because understanding stucco on a true masonry veneer would mean that at the very top of the building, we're going to be putting a wall of either brick or concrete block in order to have a stucco finish on it, which, you know, provides a lot of unnecessary weight on the structural frame, which would increase the depth of our steel or any other framing materials we may be using at that time. So that's why we were proposing a three-coat stucco system, no ethos, anything like that, just like a true three-coat stucco system, but with a substrate of either plywood or a plywood and metal stud infill or wood stud infill.
But it would still be a stucco veneer?
Yes.
The problem is that our true stucco definition in the ordinance is over masonry. That's the only difference.
I guess I was under the impression that he was reconsidering not using stucco at all. That's what I was trying to clarify.
Our first option would be the three coat modern stucco system, meaning over a metal stud or wood stud framing. If that's not agreeable, then we are happy to work with staff to find an alternate material that's more compatible in the eyes of the ordinance.
Mr. Thompson?
So what I heard from Leah is that 1, 4, and 5 proposals are okay with staff.
Correct.
And what about rooftop level? Has that been discussed?
So, I mean, I understand what he, you know, obviously is saying from a structural standpoint, but, you know, obviously our recommendation doesn't change from a visual compatibility standpoint. So I think that's up to you all to determine. And then for the other one, it's not that we don't think that stucco is visually compatible. It's that the system that he's proposing doesn't meet the ordinance.
So he would need a variance from
a special exception if you all, you know, had reason to grant a special exception in this case.
Right.
Obviously, staff would much prefer a different material than something other than a true stucco. They just don't fare well here. And that's one, you know, that's a reason for granting a special exception, is if something they're proposing is appropriate in this environment, and it just doesn't do well. We've seen it a lot recently. So staff would struggle to support a special exception for something like that, but we also understand why you can't add all that weight.
Right.
So that's why we suggested possibly a metal panel or something like that, because it would be, you know, give it a similar finish, but be clearly contemporary. Those systems aren't always the best either. So yeah. I'm going to leave it up to y'all.
Do you have any?
But is that an option? Just Tom Thompson again. I emailed from Bree that says you have to give the name so she knows we're talking. But anyway, so is that an option the architect or the applicant would consider, is some kind of metal wall instead of the proposal at this point? Because I'm trying to resolve whether we got agreement or not.
Staff's condition is to either revise to meet the definition of true stucco or change to another visually compatible material.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Miss Memory, do you have any comments?
No comments.
Okay. At this time, we will entertain a motion.
This is Karen Gwynn. I move that the Savannah Downtown Historic Board of Review approve the petition number 22-001849-COA for 24 East Broughton Street, provided that the conditions outlined in the staff recommendation are met.
OK, Okay, do we have a second?
Second, Nan Taylor.
Okay. Okay, we'll go around to vote. Mr. Higgins, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
Ms. Rowan?
Aye.
Ms. Gwynn?
Aye.
Ms. Taylor?
Aye.
Mr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Ms. Memory?
Aye.
Okay, with that, the petition has been approved with conditions. I also wanted to commend you on your note about repurposing and reusing those joists. I'm all about the deconstruction, so I'm super happy that people are starting to do that. Okay, with that, we will move on to approve staff reviews. A list of staff reviews has been attached to the agenda, and I will read through those now, and then we will vote for acknowledgement. Bear with me, there's a lot. Okay. The petition of Oglethorpe Chocolates, Denise Noakes, 22-000852-COA, 436 East Oglethorpe Avenue, Unit 1, storm door insulation and window sign. Petition of Waters Building and Design, Josh Waters, 22-001171-COA, 509 Tattnall Street, window replacement 3. Petition of Allaire Homes, David Balaza, 22-001559-COA, 217 East Gaston Street, color change. The petition of Proper Construction, Rachel Clements, 22-001563-COA, 24 East Liberty Street, after the fact handrail. The petition of Matt Zalumis, 22-001618-COA, 314 East Oglethorpe Avenue, front entry color change. The petition of Mark S. Giraldio, 22-001620-COA, 206 East Taylor Street, in-kind front stoop repair, repaint window trim, existing color. The petition of Alchemy Restoration, Michael Gonzalez, 22-001648-COA, 126 West Harris Street, color change. The petition of Matt Zalumis, 22-001653-COA, 315 East York Lane, entrance roof replacement. The petition of Stay Loom, Sarah Seeger, 22-001660-COA, 710 Barnard Street, replace front wood steps. The petition of Zeno Moore Construction, Tiger Moore, 22-001787-COA, 220 West Lower Factors Walk, main access door replacement with original opening dimensions. Petition of Roof Crafters, Kyle Conaway, 22-001788-COA, 128 West Liberty Street, recoat slash repaint existing metal roof to match structure. The petition of Fat Tuesday, Brooke Sherrod, 22-001802-COA, 19 East Bay Street, mechanical screening. The petition of Margaret Gotteruk, sorry if I butchered that, 22-001847-COA, 111 East Oglethorpe Avenue, fence replacement. The petition of Element Tree Essentials, Casey Jackson, 22-001884-COA, 101 West Broughton Street, awning cover replacement in gray. The petition of Nix Construction, 22-001971-COA, 9 East Bay Street, in-kind replacement of skylight window. The petition of Wakefield Signs, Molly Kim, 22-002004-COA, 213 East Broad Street, non-illuminated sign. The petition of Metalcrafts, Katie Lee, 22-002010COA, 622 Drayton Street, roof replacement. The petition of Metalcrafts, Katie Lee, 22-002014-COA, 216 East Broughton Street, roof replacement. And that is all of them.
If you will all vote in acknowledgement, please say aye.
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 Okay, thank you. Attach our reports regarding that were performed without a certificate of appropriateness. So work that was inconsistent with the issued COA, work that was performed without a COA, and work that exceeds the scope of the COA. There are also reports attached on items that were deferred to staff, including COA inspections. We have no other, nothing listed under notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements.
Madam Chair, do you mind if I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
So Ryan Arve was hoping to speak with you all for a minute. This is his last meeting. So would you mind letting him speak for a minute?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead, Ryan.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to take a moment and thank the HDBR for the chance to work with you guys so closely over the last 2+ years. June 2nd is my last day at HSF, and so this will be my last HDBR meeting. And just wanted to thank you guys and just impress upon you to continue the good work that you're doing. You guys truly are really the front lines of preservation at the city level. And just implore you to continue to put preservation first and just push for good design, not just compliance with the ordinance, but continue to push property owners as you do for the best design possible that we can get out of the system. And I just really enjoy working with you guys and wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Good luck, Ryan.
We will miss hearing from you. I think I can speak from everybody. And thank you for your words. That was nice. Under other business, unfinished business, we have the chair to nominate the 3-person committee, to nominate a vice chair, which we discussed in pre-meeting. The 3-person committee that will be nominating a vice chair will be Karen Gwen, Melissa Memory, and Miss Nan Taylor. The next HDBR meeting, pre-meeting, will be Wednesday, June 8th, 2022 at noon here in the hearing room. And then the next regular meeting will be the same date at 1 o'clock here in the hearing room as well. Do you have anything else, Leah, that you want to add?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Well, then we will adjourn.